Right now it's 10:35. Speaking of the cold, so they had that terrible freakish snap of cold weather in Texas. You know, we sort of cluck our tongues because it's in the 30s and 20s, boo-hoo. But it actually did get down to zero for a time, according to a reporter that was on with us last week there. And so they had this whole perfect storm energy collapse. And then some people who were still able to get energy saw that because the demand was so great and the supply now so limited that their rates went up. It's sort of like surge pricing for Uber, only now it's with your utility company. And there's the story of one guy whose utility bill was $16,000. That's his electricity. And it's not for the month. It's for the week. Some people saw themselves rack up $1,000 charges in a day. And you think, now, how can that happen? Okay, I think I know, but let's get a little more expertise here. The director of the Citizens Utility Board with the Illinois Environmental Council is Dave Collada. Hey, Dave, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
So what happened?
Yeah. Well, so first thing to keep in mind is Texas has a real different structure than really anywhere else in the country. It's its own isolated energy grid. And that's the first thing. And then in Texas also, they've had complete energy deregulation. And what that means is that everyone in Texas is required to choose an alternative energy supplier. Now in Illinois, you have the choice to choose an alternative supplier, but ComEd or Ameren, the utility, offers a regulated rate. In Texas, they don't have that. Everyone basically pays what the market provides in an unregulated fashion. Many customers in Texas are on what are known as variable pricing products. Those products change as wholesale market prices change. And what we saw in the Texas crisis was prices that are normally around, you know, 4 to 7 cents a kilowatt hour. Well, they got up to about $900 a kilowatt hour, and that exposed people to these just huge, dramatic, as you say, you know, $1,000 bills in a matter of days. So this is just, at the end of the day, a real systemic planning failure on the part of Texas. It was, of course, you know, arguably a once-in-a-100-year storm. You don't normally see such cold temperatures in Texas. But with climate change, we're definitely seeing more extremes of weather. And, you know, ultimately, I think that, you know, people are going to be investigating what happened in Texas here for quite some time to make sure that it never happens again.
So those are the people that were lucky or unlucky enough to still have power, that they could still turn on their TV, crank the heat up to 60 degrees if they wanted. It would have almost been better for them if they had been in the blackout.
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, that might be the case. I mean, you had a whole slew of people who had no power at all, and of course, that's awful. But then some folks, at least, on variable contracts got hit with these massive bills that, you know, for most people aren't anywhere near affordable. So it's sort of like a really bad, you've got no good choices, but, it's just a total mess.
And the people that signed up for the wholesale variable pricing plan, paying 2 to 7 cents an hour, what do we pay in Illinois for electricity about?
Well, I mean, it moves around a little bit, but if you're focusing just on the energy side, not taking into account delivery, mm-hmm. we pay anywhere from about 5 to 7 cents a kilowatt hour. And that's normally, by the way, what the price is in Texas, too. It's just that because of the way the energy system is designed there, they expose people potentially to very, very, very high wholesale prices.
And part of the conversation in Texas is, well, that's it is a little bit, but not perfectly, like student loans. People say, oh, my God, I have $30,000 in student debt. I can't even get through the interest, let alone to the principal. Woe is me. And other people say, then you shouldn't have signed up for the loan if you can't pay for it. Similarly, if you want to go ahead and gamble that you can get cheaper energy, go ahead. There was a plan available to you that would have cost a little bit more, but that plan wasn't going to spike. You gambled that rates would stay low. Wholesale clock prices went up thousands of percent, and now you're stuck with the bill. This is your obligation. You should have realized that when you signed the contract. What do you make of that argument?
What I make of that is it's a very simplistic argument at the end of the day. I mean, I do understand that there's some element of truth to that, But what really happened here was a structural planning failure on the part of Texas regulators and really the Texas government. And they should never have been put in that position, to begin with. And the thing is that because the prices got so high that a lot of the energy retailers, I mean, we haven't seen this play out totally, but the ones who weren't able to pass on those massive costs to their customers, well, a lot of them may go bankrupt. They're already talking about that. And then that money is going to have to be made up by someone. And at the end of the day, you know, it tends to be consumers who get end up holding the bill. So I just think that this is obviously a tragedy. There's a lot of very unique things about Texas. I don't particularly think in a great way that it's unique. And I think this was exposed, that they just hadn't planned for a severe winter event like this.
Well, I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about how we do it in Illinois. I seems to me like had been offered a plan similar to this. Maybe it was in another state. But I want to talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, about the people that do sign up for a variable rate energy plan, it does seem like there ought to be some sort of cap on it. We were talking last week on this show, or maybe it was our Wintrust business lunch, and if you get a 10-year adjustable rate mortgage, right, it will adjust in 10 years to what the rates are, but there's a cap on how much it can go up. So you are afforded some protection. Evidently, there isn't such a thing in Texas with these variable rate plans, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that I think that's a good analogy, and it's something that at Cub we've wanted the market to provide those kinds of products. We really haven't seen, too many of them. At the end of the day, we kind of see these all or nothing. You either get, because the truth of the matter is on electricity, and most times wholesale prices are pretty low.
Yeah.
And it's only these strange price spikes. And there are, there are specific reasons that they do this in Texas, where the price spike that they, this $9,000 a megawatt hour, $900 a kilowatt hour, you know, it couldn't get that high here because of market rules that are different. But, I do think that ultimately, we would like to see products that at least have some insurance on the high end to make sure that you don't get walloped we did.
Yeah, I understand obligations. I think people should pay off their student loans. But this, I think you make a good point, is crazy. This is a systemic problem. It should not have even been allowed to come to this. Like, the market forces were in play the day you signed a contract for a student loan. This was not anticipated when people bought wholesale energy. We'll pick it up here in just a minute. You've got a question, too? I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. It's 1047 on WGN. Dave Collada is with something called the Citizens Utility Board with the Illinois Environmental Council. He's the director there. He's talking to us about how energy works and what happened in Texas. $16,000 on your bill. Dude, turn off your TV. Turn off your computer. Actually, turn off your heat. Dave, by the way, the Citizens Utility Board, of which you are the director, correct?
Yes.
Is that the same one that Pat Quinn started 1,000 years ago?
Yeah, Pat Quinn was our architect. We're consumer advocates here in the state of Illinois, and been around since 1984.
He used to come on my show in Peoria all the time when I did a late-night radio show, and Pat Quinn was always a terrific guest, always seemed to be very sincere and informed on, helping people manage their energy costs. There is a Citizens Utility Board. The big issue then was, should their literature be allowed to be put in the utility bills? And maybe a ComEd doesn't want to have an advocate for the other side. They didn't want to carry the freight for that. And I believe you all got the legislation fixed, so they had to do that and do.
Well, we did, and then it was taken to the Supreme Court, and we lost.
But there's a
long history here, and at Cub, we're out here, fighting for residential consumers, and we provide a lot of money-saving tips, too, a lot of energy efficiency tips, things that you can do to help save on your bill. So we would encourage folks to check us out at citizensutilityboard.org.
Here's some text. Hey, King John. The situation in Texas is what happens when you put profits over people. Regulations aren't always evil, just as we learned from the mortgage meltdown in 2008. Another texter said, for Illinois customers, do we have the same exposure if we are subject to hourly pricing through ComEd? Do some people have something like this here?
There is an hourly pricing program, and I'm actually on it myself, that ComEd offers. The answer is we're not at the same level of exposure, actually nowhere near close. But, you know, there are on occasion price spikes that occur. You know, from Cub's perspective, we, you know, believe that hourly pricing, at least in Illinois, is a good option for people and they should check it out. It's not for everyone. I would say that if we were in Texas, given their structure down there, I don't think that we would encourage people to be looking at the program as closely. There's just a lot of idiosyncratic parts of the Texas market that just have a lot more risk. And I think you saw that risk manifest itself. This was ultimately really a systemic planning failure that, you know, like I said, is going to be studied for quite some time. I don't think that the conditions are ripe here to have that level of a disaster.
What if we had an ice storm? Do we have some sort of cap on what the bills can be?
Yeah, I mean, there's basically every market structure has somewhat of a cap. There is, and the cap that you could be charged is less where we are than it is in Texas.
I mean, you sound fairly glib about this, and glib may not be the right word, but you seem rather casual about it, and yet I'm sure people weren't worrying about it in Texas before they got a $16,000 electricity bill. Is it impossible for something like that to happen here?
I would say that it is highly, highly unlikely. You never say that things are impossible. And I do think that ultimately we need to make sure that we are planning for, you know, how to deal with climate change in a least cost fashion. You know, ultimately we're going to be seeing these more and more of these weird weather conditions. And I will say this, we had the exact same weather conditions here in the Midwest that they did in Texas, and we didn't see the same kind of problems. And a lot of that has to do with, at the end of the day, we've taken steps to deal with that. So,
yeah, but we're also built for cold here. But I think
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Our equivalent of that would be when it's 110 degrees here for a long period of time.
I would think that that's close. Yes, I think that that's right. But the it's not insignificant that we planned for cold, because, you know, that's what we're going to have to do across the country, is plan for these weird weather anomalies. And, you know, I think it raises very important questions. I do think that we're in a much better position than, say, Texas is to deal with these kinds of issues. We're part of a regional grid. That helps. At the end of the day, we've gone through similar things like this before. We had a polar vortex in 2014 where you saw some of the same conditions, but we didn't experience big blackouts. The price spikes were never anywhere near as high.
But I want you to anticipate 110 degrees for 5 days.
Yeah.
What would happen then?
I think we'd be okay. I do think we'd be okay. But, I mean, I think your point that you're getting at is an important one. And it's what your first the first texter mentioned, too. I do think that when you're dealing with an essential service like electricity, it's very, very important that you have sound regulations in place and that you really take a hard look to make sure that we're planning for all these scenarios.
So some of our texters are asking questions like this, 630, were the people of Texas told this could happen and be this bad, or were they just told about the savings? This is every contract you've ever signed. It probably said it in there and you didn't think it would happen, or you didn't read the fine print, right?
Yeah, that's my guess. I don't know the specifics, but I would guess that basically this was always a possibility and it was sort of buried in there. You know, I think that people in Texas, from what I understand, you know, we're told that their you know, energy market was working and it was great. And this clearly exposed some very significant problems. Yes. And I do want your listeners to know there are pretty big differences between how Texas operates and how the rest of the United States operates. Texas is its own unique electric grid, literally Texas, and it is not regulated, for example, by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Because of all that, the rules are quite a bit different, and, you know, we would argue that the oversight and consumer protections are nowhere near as strong as they are where, say, we are. But obviously, this is a very important issue, and we need to make sure that we learn the right lessons and do everything we can.
I want to get to a couple of phone calls. My number is 312-981-7200. David Collada is on a phone line from the Citizens Utility Board. Well, a quick comment from you, though. What does this say about wind power?
I think that that we've seen some politicization of this issue. It's true that some of the wind farms in Texas were frozen and didn't work, but that's just, if you look at the root cause here, it's that natural gas didn't deliver. And, you know, wind farms here worked fine. Wind farms in Antarctica worked fine. You can make it work in cold weather. What they didn't do in Texas, if you boil it down, is they didn't require their energy sources to winterize. They didn't prepare for a situation like this.
Yeah.
And then they got paralyzed because things couldn't deliver. So wind somewhat underperformed. Natural gas way underperformed, and because of that, they just didn't have enough electricity to meet the demand.
Because the gas powers the turbines to generate the electricity,
Texas is very dependent on natural gas electricity generation. So basically, natural gas turbines providing electricity. And what happened was a lot of the natural gas plants froze. They weren't winterized. But then a lot of the production, a lot of the oil wells, natural gas wells, they froze up too. So even if a plant worked, they couldn't get the gas. And because of that, you just saw a massive drop in the available generation. And, you know, that had this ripple effect down the line that led to blackouts and led to massive price increases for the folks who were left.
The energy cost in Texas, says 630, is capped, but the cap is as high as $900 a kilowatt hour instead of 7 cents. So it might as well be infinity in that case. We got 45 seconds. And Warren in Aurora, what did you want to say? Warren, you're on the air.
Commonwealth Edison, I'm in Aurora. Commonwealth Edison has a plan called Real Time, which I've been on for over a dozen years, and I pay on my bill the actual cost of electricity. And over that period of time, so far, I've saved about $2,600.
Yeah.
While I've been on it.
Yeah, and you're on a similar plan, right, Dave?
I am, and it is something that I do think is a really good option here. I do want to emphasize that there are, you know, not guaranteed savings, but, you know, Texas has just different market conditions. But, yeah. I mean, it's worth checking out. You always want to be an educated consumer. You always want to understand what it is you're signing up for. I do think, like I said, that there are differences in Texas that,
I think you've made that point really well.
Sure.
I want to talk again. Let's visit later this week, but thank you for your time, Dave.
Love to.
Stay warm. David Collada. It's 10:56. WGN Radio News and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is next.